We're going to talk about the second coming today. And don't worry, I'm not going to beat you over the head with that, okay? Sometimes preachers do that. That's not what my purpose. I hope you have been able to see in the paper in the last few weeks a Mr. Champion, or a Campion, who decided that through his interpretation of the Bible, that the end of the world was going to be last Saturday. Did y'all know that? Did y'all miss that? Okay? I heard somebody joking this week, and certainly it has turned into a joke, saying, well, you know, all those people that spent all their money and gave all the stuff away, what are they going to do now since the world hadn't ended? But don't worry about it. He's revised that, and it's going to be October the 21st of 2011. The world's going to end. In fact, he talked about it being rolled up like a scroll. This is something that I think we need to look at. Peter tells us that we need to have an answer within us so that we can help other people to be able to see and understand what the Bible teaches. Things like this, things like people predicting when the world is going to end and talking about that, when basically, and we're going to see this in just a moment, the Bible says nobody knows. But people have been trying to figure out when it was going to end. I don't know why. Why do we want to know when it's going to end? Is it so? Kind of like a sale. We know when the sale's going to be, so we know the day that we've got to get there. And on the day before the world ends, everybody's going to start going to church, and everybody's going to confess their sins, and everybody's going to get themselves right. I don't think that's going to be the case. What we've got to do is to look at what the Bible has to say, and the Bible is trying to say to us, what you need to do is to prepare yourself as though this is the last day of your life. And you need to live it that way. You need to live it with a joy and with a happiness, with that you know you're doing what's right and you're trying to serve God as best your ability, and you've got a God that will forgive you and loves you and wants you in heaven. We need to rejoice in that. Don't look at the day of revealing when the lives of people are going to be revealed as a bad thing. It can be a great thing. Just think about it. It can be a bad thing because if a person has not been living right before God, that's going to be shouted before everybody and everybody's going to know about it. But what if you've been living right before God? Could you imagine a case like Job? Where God is willing to say, when we go before the judgment seat of God, when God is willing to say, listen, this is Charles. He has tried to live faithful. And he's going to be going into heaven today because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for him and because Charles was willing to give his life to God. To be directed by God. Now, we're going to say, well, you know, God might say, well, there's problems in their lives. No, God's not going to say that. Because it's all going to be clear then, exactly what it's going to be. And we will be those people that will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You say, well, I don't know if I was as faithful as that other person. Quit doing that. Don't do that. Don't try to judge people in those things. Accept what God says. If we will hear His Word, and it's here for us, if we will believe what He says within His Word, we can be those people that are Christians, are forgiven of our sins. And we have a God who's willing to forgive us. How many times in a day? Anybody know? Henry said 490 plus. Okay, I agree with that. 400, you know, God's going to forgive us. Do you think God doesn't want you in heaven? He wants you there. He's done. There is not anything else God can do to open the door wider for you than He's already done. Nothing else. You say, well, if I could see a miracle, if I could do this, if I could do that. No, God's given you everything you need. And you see, if we don't want to go in, we won't go in. God's not going to force you in there. You have to make that decision that you're going to go in and you're going to be a part of that. But the Bible tells us, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, that we need to be those people that we give an answer for those things that are within us. And so part of what we're doing today in this lesson is for you to understand a little bit about what's being said here and also understand what's not being said, what's not being talked about here. Because we need to know, because people may ask you, and some people may have already asked you about this. Hey, you know, this thing of Christianity is getting kind of weird, isn't it? You remember that Campion guy that he said the world's going to end last Saturday? And I've already told you, people are starting to make jokes about it. Why are they making jokes about it? Because it makes religion look silly. It makes people that are Christians look like they're bumpkins and they don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. And that's what the world wants to hear. It verifies within their lives that this thing of Christianity is really not that important and not that necessary. What we've got to do is to be people that we look at what the Bible has to teach and we teach what the Bible teaches, and if it doesn't go any farther than this point here, that's as far as we go. I can't answer every question you've got. Nobody else can either. That does not necessarily mean that they are right. And it does not mean that you're wrong. It means that maybe God didn't answer a particular question. And we don't have it written within the Scriptures. But we know enough to, one, become a Christian and to live the Christian life. What else is there? What else do we have? And so what we're trying to do here is to understand this. We need to look at the source of this. And I mentioned a man, and I apologize for that. I don't try to mention people's names so much because I'm not trying to just bemean the person. That's wrong to do that. But because of what has been taught, I think we need to mention the name of a person. But I'm not doing that, running this man down. I'm not making fun of him. I think his interpretation of what the Bible teaches is wrong. I think the first premise is wrong. You're deciding something that the Lord said only God knows. You can't do that. You can't do that. And it's wrong to even try to do that. Mr. Campion is one who has a radio station out west. It is, I would assume, a very popular one. One of the commentators on one of the programs I saw, either internet or television, was talking about he had spent over $1 million in advertising for this day coming. But they said, don't feel bad about it. He's probably made $100 million in the advertisement that he's got out of it. And I don't know if that was the reason. I don't know. But you see, this man in 1992 wrote a book. That book was 1994. And he said in 1994, in September of 1994, the world was going to end. Any of you were living at September in 1994? Okay. Some of you have had a rough life because you look a lot older than you say you are. Okay, this fella came across with this thing, the world's going to end. It came September. It didn't work. It didn't work. So what he had to do is to go back and revise his statement there. And what he said was something that was very simple. He said, what we're going to do is September the 7th of 1994, this was after all this, he said, what we're going to do at that day is the day when the church is going to reach out to people that are outside the church, the world. And I'm thinking, I think I read in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, where that's exactly what Peter and the other apostles did at Pentecost when they stood up and preached a sermon there and told those people, you with your wicked hands have crucified the Son of God. You've taken His life. And those people there said, what can we do? And they were told what to do. I think, isn't that asking people that are not in the church to become a part of the church? Do you see how silly some of this stuff is? And what bothers me is the world looks at this and it just confirms. This thing of Christianity is silly. It's foolish. Look at this. Set these dates up and they don't show up. You would think a man would learn after setting one date and it not working. There was some people in the Jehovah's Witnesses several years ago who decided that the world was going to end too and judgment was going to be, and they gave a date for that. Well, many of those people sold what they had. Some of them made white robes, stood on their houses. The day came and the night came and the next day came. There was a book, maybe you've seen it, I would love to get a copy. Brother Charles Coyle had a copy of it. Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And this was a premise of the book. Every time people have tried to set up a date for the Lord to return, it has not worked out. And it will not work out. There's a fellow, Steve Rudd, has over 220 predictions that people have made, and he lists them on his website about the Lord returning again. 220. None of them have come true. None of them have come true. Why haven't they come true? Because it's not God saying that. It's these people making their statement there. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. I want you to see something here and understand something about prophets and about what prophets have to say, about what people talk about. In Deuteronomy 18, starting with verse 20, here are how do you know what a good prophet is? How do you know if a prophet is a prophet of God or not a prophet of God? How can you find that out? Here you've got a preacher, and he's saying, oh, God told me this, God said this. Well, how do you know that? Look at what it said, starting in verse 20 here. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Now, he's saying you need to be careful when you say you're talking for God and you're not talking for God, because the consequences show how serious it is. Now, look if you would at verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. Simple. They say, God said, this is the day. It is not the day. You can reason in a sensible way. They are not speaking for God. Now, this is in the Old Testament, trying to help people to understand that. God had a message for them. But he said, listen, there are other people that are coming. There are those false witnesses that they set up and they say, God's told me this, God said this, God said that. Anytime a fellow says God said it, you better be careful about it. Look at where it's written, not just who said it. And then he goes on here, trying to help us to understand this and know this. It doesn't come to pass. The Lord has not spoken to him, to that prophet. And if it is presumptuous, you shall not be afraid of him. Don't worry about what he says, because what he says is a lie. What he says is wrong. Brethren, we've got to understand, anybody under the sun can come up and say, God, talk to me. What we need is people that will open up this book and find out and show us within this book what God says. That's what we've got to find. In the world today, a part of the reason that Christianity is kind of laughed at and snickered about is because people like this and others have said things that are not according to the Scriptures. Now, please don't think that's just in the world. That's us in the church, too. We need to speak where the Bible speaks. And what? Be silent where the Bible is silent. Now, that's an old saying, but it's a true saying. It is right. We need to be looking at the oracles of God and what God has said within His Word so that we can understand this. Camping had his 1994 book, probably made a lot of money off of it, Hal Lindsey wrote a book a few years ago. He made a lot of money out of that book. Don't hear anything about it today. Nobody says anything about it. Prophecies were made. Prophecies did not come true. Is the world going to end? Yes. Is the Lord going to come back? Yes. We know that from what the Scriptures have to say. When is He going to do that? I don't know. And nobody else does. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles, turn to Matthew. And I want us to see this. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Listen to what is being said to us from the Word of God. It's talking about the Lord coming. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father. Now, who knows when it's going to end? Who knows when judgment's going to be called? Who knows when this world is going to terminate? Whenever God decides it. Not when I decide it, not when you decide it, not when we decide it, but when God decides it. We've got a lot of people that are worried about global warming. They're worried about, you know, they changed that now. It's climate problems now. Warming didn't work out, so they're looking at cooling again. And I don't know. That may be the way the world ends. I don't really know. I don't really care. It makes no difference at all. I got to be right with God. That's the important thing. If I'm not right with God, I don't care if this world lasts a million years. If I'm not right with God, it makes no difference if it lasts another 10 minutes. Get on the things that we need to worry about. Am I right with God? Not when is this world going to end? Like, oh, it's going to end on Thursday, so Wednesday night I need to be at church and make a public confession of my wrongs. Now, please don't think that's going to just get you into heaven. Because if the life is not changed, the destination is not going to change. And we've got to recognize that. The Lord's the only one that knows. Campion, if you look at what he teaches, and he has come up with this date, he's come up with this time. He goes back and looks some Old Testament interpretations. He looks at Genesis 6 and verse 3 when Noah there is told that the length of man is going to be 120 years. Some look at that as though it's going to say in 120 years I'm going to end this world. That may be the case. God may have told Noah when it was going to end. He may have told him the hour and the minute. But let me tell you something. He hadn't told us when the world's going to end, and nobody can find it in the Scriptures. So what you've got to do is to go beyond the Scriptures, beyond what God's Word says, and then you start getting into whatever it could be. And you can write a time and you can say it's going to be there, it's going to be there. Why? Because you have no evidence. Or you take what the Bible has to say and you turn it around. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, it's there talking about, and it's helping us to understand about the flood and the flood coming into the world. And it's just, you know, that has nothing to do with us and the end. You go over where it's talking in the New Testament about this is going to be like in the days of Noah. What's it saying there? What's Peter trying to get across? Listen, nobody knew when the world was going to end. They needed to be prepared. You need to be prepared. Today, you need to be prepared for when the world is going to end. I don't know when it's going to be. Nobody else does. Only God knows. But it makes no difference when it's going to end. Are you right with God? That's the important thing. Are you right with God? He goes on to give several interpretations of this. And look, if you would, at Matthew 24 and verse 44. I want you to see this. This is a part of what we looked at this morning. It was read. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant? And then he goes into the illustration about the servant there. Here's a servant that is supposed to be working for his master. He's supposed to be taking care of the other servants. He's supposed to be doing what's right. But he just thinks, well, the master's not coming back anytime soon. I can live like I want to. I can do what I want to. There's people in the world that are doing that today. They live like they want to. They made a decision. Let me tell you something. Everybody made a decision this morning if they were going to be coming to the church. You've made a decision. You decided either to be here or not to be here. That's your responsibility. Before God, we as the church can only encourage you to do what's right. We will not force you. We will not come to your house and jerk you out of the bed and dress you and put you in a pew. It's wrong for us to do that. But we want to encourage you to understand what God says within His Word. And here He says, this servant says, I can live and do like I want to. But then the master comes and says, you've got to give an account. What's he trying to say here? He's trying to say there is a time when every person has got to give an account for their life. Now, I'm sure there were probably some people who they went to whatever religious group they were and they made a confession because they were afraid. They were afraid the Lord was going to come. If you go back and read the New Testament, Paul preached in such a way as though the people at that time thought the Lord was going to come in their generation. The judgment was right around the corner. Let me tell you something. That's exactly the way we need to preach it today too. That's what we need to say. The Lord can come at any time. I'm not trying to scare you into that. I'm telling you the truth. Now, if it scares you, you might need to look at it and find out why you're afraid. Are you afraid because you're not prepared? Are you afraid because your faith has not increased enough to know that you are right before God because you're trying to do the will of God? Increase your faith and help your faith to grow. We could go on and on and on looking at Mr. Campion and some of the things that he's taught. And I think it's important that we recognize that. Here's some of the things there. Genesis 7 and verse 4, God is giving us a warning about Noah and giving Noah a warning because he told Noah does not mean that for us, that he's going to tell us the day. Mr. Campion took these days and he goes through, and it's a laborious thing where it's talking about the world is going to end, and he gives 7 days. And Campion takes that and turns it into 7,000 years. He reworks all of history. Most religious people believe that the history, 4,000 or 5,000 years. He adds it up. I think it's 13 when he gets through with it. Because it's got to fit his doctrine. Anytime you've got to change something to fit your doctrine, you're in trouble. As I've already mentioned, Peter talked about, you know, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day. Somebody said, well, see there, it could be a day, it could be 1,000 years. No, that's not even what he's talking about. He's talking about God and God's view of time. He's not talking about our view of time. To take Genesis there and to say because he's talking about 7 days that it's 7,000 years, how do you arrive at that? I was thinking a while ago, we assemble on the first day of the week. Now, how would you like a sermon that lasted 1,000 years? You say, it's not talking about that. We're not going to have that. Fact is, go over 20 minutes, you're in trouble. I stay in trouble all the time, so I'm used to being there. How can you make it 1,000 when it says a day? How do you interpret that? How do you find out that that's the way it is? What we have to do is to go back to what the Scriptures have to say. When is the judgment day going to be? We don't know. This man has decided he knows when it's going to be. He's revised it one time before in 1994. He has already revised it again. Do you know it's going to be, is it October the 21st of 2011? It's going to end again. It's going to end again. Why? Why do we need that? What are we worried about? Let me tell you something. Don't worry about when it's going to end. I've already mentioned to you. Don't worry about that. Be concerned about how you're living your life today before God. Don't worry about when it's going to end. It'll end when God says it's going to end. That's what Jesus said. Nobody knows but Him. He's the one. And that's all right. Who cares? I got to live faithful today for me. I got to live faithful today to show the Lord that I believe what He says. Because if you're not living faithful, you don't believe the Lord. If you believe the Lord, your life is going to be right. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But listen, God's going to forgive you. He wants to do that. Don't worry about all this stuff when people set dates. Set your life to serve God and to do God's will. Set your life as a person who's ready to follow God and ready to follow what God would have you to do. That's what we got to